Let's take our Bible tonight and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's stand to our feet tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I had a good time this morning. Got a little long. Didn't intend to be long, but got a little long. But I pray it was a help to you. As I said in the prayer room tonight, this morning's gone. We can't worry about this morning. We have to worry about tonight now. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at it with me in verse 13, one verse. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Watch ye, stand ye fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us and the mercy and grace that you have so just wonderfully bestowed upon us. And we thank you for that. Lord, it's preaching time now. We certainly need help and just need a touch from heaven, need a touch from you tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd give us a clear thought pattern. And Lord, I just pray that you'd hinder Satan from this service. I pray men and women, boys and girls, would get help from the Word of God, save the one that might be lost. And Lord, we pray those that need help would find it in your Word tonight by the help of the Holy Spirit. And we'll tell you again that we love you. Thank you for all you've done. Help us now for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as Paul was closing his first epistle, and that to the church at Corinth, and the church that had had, I guess you would say, a lot of problems. And they really had. If you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, they did have a lot of problems. But as he, in this chapter, he not only encouraged them, but he commended those that had helped them in the work, if I could say that tonight. But he gives them one piece of instruction in verse 13 that I think that would be good for each of us tonight. But he said, "Watch you stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong." And I want to deal with primarily what he said right there, where he said, "Quit you like men." Now, ladies, I'm going to give you a break tonight and preach to the men of this church. We're living in a day and age when, how can I say this tonight, that there is an effemination of that of our boys. There's effemination in that of men tonight. The Bible said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind." That word effeminate simply means having the qualities of a female, soft or delicate, to an unmanly degree. Now, I don't think I have to give anybody a science lesson sitting in here tonight. There's a difference between a boy and a girl. I don't care what society tells you. I don't care what the news tells you. This book lays it out pretty plain tonight, and there is a difference tonight. We're built different, we think different, and we are different. And that's just the way it is tonight. And I don't care who says they can change it or they want to change it, you can't change what God put in the being tonight. But as we look here, I want to preach having a thought that we need some men just to be men. He said, "Quit you like men." Now, the word "quit" in the Bible, you know, it's kind of like if you work, look at the word "smart." You know what the word "smart" means? Word "smart," a lot of you think that means to be intelligent or to have a high IQ. Actually, the word "smart" means a quick and a sharp pain. You ever use the word "smart"? My wife used it the other day. She said something about, "I bet that smarted, didn't it?" And some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about tonight, but some of you do. My daddy, I was up here a while back. I was up at his place, and I don't know if he had hit his thumb or what, but he said, "Man, that smarted right then," you know. And so we use "smart" to mean high IQ, but it actually means to be, and if you look in the Bible, the word "smart" is only used one time, and it actually means to hurt for something. But the word "quit" right here, and we know the word "quit" to mean to leave or stop, but the word "quit" here actually means to carry through or to do or to perform something to the end. And so right here is Paul, as he is encouraging the church at Corinth, as he says, I want you to watch. Why do we watch? One, we watch for the adversary. Two, we watch for bad doctrine. And three, we watch for the Lord Jesus to come. Preached on that before. He said, stand fast in the faith. That means be faithful in what you know. Be faithful in the book. Be faithful in Scripture. Be faithful in the truth. But then he said, quit you like men and be strong. He says, carry this thing through to the end. And that's what he's saying right here. He says, you want, he said, I want you to stand fast, and I want you to carry through to the end like men are supposed to do. And I'd say today, folk, that we need some men. Now, I understand, I'm not going to tell y'all nothing you don't know, probably heard me say before, there's been a lot of churches kept going because of some ladies. Because of some Christian ladies. I understand that tonight, but I'm not preaching on that. What we need tonight is some men that will stand up and simply be men tonight. Can I say that God has an order to the home, and that order starts with the husband and with dad, and then it goes to mom and to the wife, and then it goes and that to the children, and that's how He laid out the home. And the home is so messed up tonight. The home is so turned upside down, and it is so far out of order tonight of how things are supposed to be. That's why our society is in the shape that it is tonight. I understand that it's sin. I understand it. Hey, listen, he said this about the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 3. He said, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. He said, the problem is, he said, what? He said, children are your oppressors, and women have the rule over you. You know who's ruling things today? Women and children. If you don't believe that, that's fine. You don't have to, but look around. And there's some things just out of order today because men are afraid to be men. Men are afraid to stand up. We do need toxic masculinity tonight. Amen. You know what you need to do? You need to raise these boys to be men. They need to be boys, and then they need to be men. That's what they need to be tonight. They grow up to be a man, Zeke. I know you're getting there, son. He's getting there, ain't he? Need to be a man, Gunner. You grow up there one day. So what's it take? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In this day and age that we live in, if you're going to stand up and be a man, you're going to have to endure some hardness. Now, he's talking about the gospel's sake right there. I understand that. I know that. He's talking about having right doctrine out there. And that's what he's talking about when he says, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's talking about being separated and out from the world. But I'm telling you tonight, in this society that we live in, folk don't want men. They want some kind of feminine example. Some wishy-washy and some sissy. But that ain't what the Lord called us to be. So we need some men. First of all, we need some men that's saved. You know what will make a good man? Jesus Christ will make a good man out of folk. Now I understand, hey listen, I wish society was different than what it was, and I can remember a time when, and most of y'all can too, when men and women had good morals. They may not know the Lord, but at least they had good morals. Amen. And they knew what it meant to raise their family. They knew what it meant to get up and go to work. And they knew what it meant to teach their family to do good and to do right. And like I said, they may not have went to church all the time. They might not have been saved, but at least they had some good morals. But I'm going to tell you what will change somebody. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into their heart. We need some men there, first of all, that knows what it means to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and they got saved because they trusted the Lord tonight. And that's what makes good men and good husbands and good daddies is salvation tonight. That's what changes hearts on the inside. You know, a good daddy, a good husband, I will make sure that his home is supplied for spiritually tonight. make sure that the Bible takes the place where it needs to be. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the joke tonight. The preacher come over. And one of the parents sent the kid and said, go get that book that me and your daddy read every night. And the child comes back with the TV guide. I don't even know if they make the TV guide anymore. You can put Reader's Digest in there. Field and Stream, whatever, you know, whatever you want to put in there, you can. But that's the way it is tonight. You know, good men will make sure that this book has a preeminence in their home tonight. You know, he tells us over there, he said, in the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same thou commit what? To faithful men. Why? He said, who shall be able to teach those also? You know what he's looking for? He's looking for folk that love this book and love God. And it's just going to be faithful. Going to be faithful to him, going to be faithful to his family, going to be faithful to his wife, going to be faithful to his children, going to be faithful to church. He's just looking for men that are going to be faithful. How faithful are we tonight, men? We need to be. He said, what you've heard among me, among many witnesses. He said the same, commit thou to faithful men. You know, I don't like putting people, and I won't. Let me say, I won't put people in a position that ain't faithful. You know, he didn't say choose you out folk that you can put in a position and then that'll make them faithful. He said right here, the same commit thou to faithful men. A lot of times preachers think if they'll give somebody a job, that'll make them faithful. It might help them, I don't know. But I'm telling you tonight, if somebody ain't going to be faithful without a job, it makes me wonder whether they'll be faithful with a job or not. If church don't mean enough to come, for you to come, and I know I'm preaching on Sunday night and you're here, and I'm thankful for that, but if church don't mean enough for you to come when you don't have a job here, or when you don't have a position here, then what makes me think that it's going to mean enough to you when you do have one? Ain't that good tonight? Amen. We need some men that are just saved. And that care about the truth. Some men that's going to teach it in their home. I know you may not be a Bible scholar. I know you may not be a theologian. But I'm telling you, you can take your Bible. You can open it up and you can read it. And say, right here's what the Bible says. That's what we're going to do. Your preacher don't open this Bible every day and understand what it says all the time. I really don't. I'll be honest with you. There's some scripture in here that I struggle with. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. It was Mark Twain that made that statement. It's not what's not in the Bible, what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me. It's what I do understand about the Bible. We just need some men that are saved. We need some men that's going to live for God. We need some men that's going to know the Bible. That's versed in the Scripture. You know, we're raising generations that know nothing about the Scripture. Well, I mean, they can tell you all the sports statistics. They can tell you all about the video games of this world. But never one time have they been encouraged in their home to open the Bible and read it. You want to hear something? I looked this up today. I looked this up. And I found it very interesting. Moms and dads want their children to play ball and be involved in sports, and I understand that, but let me just read you something right here. The odds of becoming a pro baseball player. Did you know that there's 487,097 high school baseball players? And there's 35,460 baseball players. The percentage of high school athletes playing in college is 7.28%. A little over 7%. Did you know how many gets drafted by the pros? 775. The percent of college athletes drafted by the pros, talking about baseball now, is 2.19%. And the percentage of high school athletes drafted is 0.16%. Let me read you about football, and then I'm going to move on. I'll tell you all about it. whether you want to talk about baseball or basketball or women's basketball. But I thought I'd go to football because we all love football around here. You know, go Big Orange, you know. High school, you know there's over a million, there's 1,036,842 playing high school football in the United States. 73,557 are college, and there's 7.09% go from high school to playing college, and out of that, 255 are drafted by the pros. Did you know that it is an odd of 1 in 4,000 for a kid that is in high school to be drafted by the pros? What's that all about? There's a lot of mom and dads that want to give their children sports and hope for the best, but they never think about giving them the Word of God. They never think about giving them something that's going to last them the rest of their life. That's why I encourage the children to learn to play a musical instrument. If they show any interest at all, you are to help them and that to learn to play the best they can. Why? That's going to last them the rest of their life. Give them say, hey, listen, put the Word of God, you know, train for child and let's go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I'm telling you those things that I learned in Sunday school. Listen, when I was Gunner's age, when I was East Boy's age, listen, I still remember some of that stuff. It matters to have that stuff put in while they're young. Was it Russia that said, give me your child till they're 7 and we'll have them for life? Why? They're indoctrinating them. You put this stuff in your children while they're little, while they're young, and it'll make a difference in their life. I know that moms and dads has asked me to pray for their teenage children. I know that, but you cannot wait until they're 13, 14, and 15 years old to begin to put the Word of God in them and expect it to fix everything right overnight, friend. It's like my doctor told me when I went to see him about losing weight. He said, Mark, he said, you didn't get this way overnight. And he said, you ain't going to lose it overnight. Were you talking about letting the wind out? I knew that stuff. But boy, you always want it that way, you know. We need some faithful men that's versed in the Scriptures. That make sure that their home has the Scriptures in it. Make sure that the Bible is preeminent. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 2. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 2. I'm talking to men tonight. It's your responsibility to make sure it gets done. I know mama has to bear some load. I understand that. But at the end of the day, when we stand at the judgment seat, God's going to look at her for a lot of things that's been done in our home. He's going to look at us. Now, you may not like what I'm telling you now, but I didn't lay it out, friend. I mean, I didn't lay out how God set up the home. Go back and look. He created Adam, then He created Eve, and that to be a helpmeet, and that to Adam. Go over to Ephesians. We'll get to Ephesians here in a little bit. Look and say in 1 Kings chapter 2, look in verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be thou therefore. Be thou strong, therefore. There's that word again. Got to be strong, don't you? Men's supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to have some guts, some intestinal fortitude, if you'd let me say that. Therefore, and show thyself a man. He said, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. He said, look, Solomon. He said, I'm fixing to die. He said, you be strong. He said, you do what you're supposed to do as a man. And he said, one of the things you need to do is keep the Word of God. He said, if you want God to bless you and bless your home, what did he say? That thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whatsoever thou turnest thyself. Hey, listen and do the Word of God tonight. You need to know where to get your Bible convictions, why your home is the way that it is, how you run your home. You do run your home, don't you? Now, it's me and Miss Latham in our home. Me and Miss Kelly. I'm not a king, but I try to treat her like a queen. Amen. I hope she realizes that. But listen, at the end of the day, we talk about things. We really do. In our home, we talk about things. But at the end of the day, when somebody's got to pull the trigger, you're looking at him. Whether I make the right decision or the wrong decision, it's going to fall on me. And that's just the way it is. You need to use this Bible to draw your convictions about why you believe what you believe. Why you're separated from the world. Why your home's different than your neighbor's home. Why your home's different than other folks you know, part of your family. Why your home's different, you know, why your family and your children are going to be different. Why this book says to be different right here. You know, when he talks about in Romans chapter 12, he said, therefore, by the mercies of God, I present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. He said, you need to be different. Little John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me go over and get that. Little John. 1 John. I think I misquoted that, or it sounded like I did. It didn't sound like I wanted it to anyway. 1 John chapter 2. Look in verse 15. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. I believe that's what I said. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world. You need to teach your children to love not the world. You know how you do that? You do it by example. You can tell them all day long, but if you fell in love with the world, they're going to see it, men. They're going to know whether you love the world or not. Your wife's going to know whether you love the world or not. I mean, why you need to flee from sin? I thought about this evening. I mean, you really need to teach your children. You need to everybody that you're around, and you need to flee from sin. I thought about Joseph when he was over in Potiphar's house and was Potiphar's wife, and she was trying to chase him and trying to catch him. The Bible said over there that when she caught him, that he left his coat and ran away from her. Why? He fleed from adultery. Listen, the Bible said over here, flee from fornication. What was it Paul said to flee from fornication? He said to flee from idolatry. When he was talking about all the money in 1 Timothy, I talked about love, or the love of money is the root of all evil. He talks about fleeing from these things. He talked about fleeing from youthful lust. Hey, you need to teach your children and live your home in that way to flee from what's wrong. You got to run away from it. You got to run away from it. It's in this book that you'll find guidance. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. We need to be in the plain path of God's word because of our enemies. Listen to me tonight now. Your enemy's trying to destroy you and destroy your home. And see, if he can destroy you and destroy your home, he can destroy this church. Just a lickety split. I'm telling you. Church is made up of homes. And boy, if he can root his way into the home, man, it just overflows into the church. And then I got to deal with more, and you got to deal with more. But you'll find guidance. You know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man, this book needs to have preeminence in your home tonight. How else are you going to teach your children? You say, well, I'm going to tell them. Yeah, and listen, I give my dad a hard time about this sometimes. But I've heard him say, do as I say, not as I do, and I always did as he did. I mean, I'm just being honest tonight. That's what I did. Whatever he was doing, y'all think I look like him, but you talking about Pete and repeat. Now, man, I mean, that was me and him for a long time. And you lead and you teach by example. You want your children to read the Bible? You read it. And let them see you read it tonight. Hey, you want them to learn about the Word of God? Sit them down and read it to them and explain some things to them. Tell them the truth of God's Word. Tell them the truth about sin. Tell them the truth about the world. Tell them the truth about how good God is and what God does in your life and how God came out. I'll never forget Brother Ricker. Brother Ricker, years ago, when he was in West Virginia. I believe he was pastoring in West Virginia. And we had decided as a church we were going to give him some money for the mission work that he was doing up there. And And I had the check in my back pocket to write it and send it off, get it mailed off to him. And I remember I pulled in over to gas station on the other side of the interstate over there. And I pulled in one day. It's just a day or two later after we decided it might have been on Monday or Tuesday. And lo and behold, there stood Brother Ricker pumping gas. I said, "Brother, what are you doing down here?" He said, "Well, our church, our home church is having a meeting this week and we've come down for a meeting." I said, "Well, it's good to see you, brother." I said, "Hold, don't go nowhere." I said, "I got something to give you." So I finished pumping my gas and I drove around and parked and got out on the hood of my truck and I wrote out the check for, I believe we wrote him $500. I believe that's what church had decided to give him. I folded it up and handed it to him. He thanked me for it. And I'll never forget, a few weeks later we were talking and he said, "Brother Mark," he said, "you just don't understand." He said, "We come all the way from West Virginia and didn't have no money." And he said, "We come down here just trusting the Lord." Now, that's pretty good trust. Amen. Listen. Now, it was happenstance. You reckon it's happenstance? That I happened to be pumping gas at the same time that Brother Ricker, who lived in West Virginia, that just happened to come down for meeting at his home church, and I happened to be on the end where I never pumped gas at, but for whatever reason I was down there on that end. My wife will tell you, I like to pump gas on one end, you know, but I had to drive all the way down there to the other end, and there he stood. You think that was happenstance? That's one of them times where God just got involved. But he said, "We come all the way down here." And he said, "Me and my wife, we were beginning to get a little worrisome." But he said, "We hadn't told our children yet." Now, your children don't need to be involved in everything that's going on in your home. They don't need to know all the ins and outs and all the good and the bad. But sometimes they need to know some things so that they can watch God move just like you get to watch God move. They need to know that He can move. They need to understand that tonight. But then a man that'll provide for his own. A man that'll make sure that his house is in order. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Look tonight. Ephesians 5. Are we doing okay tonight? All right. Just making sure. Ephesians 5. Now, I've determined not to tell you what I think tonight. I'm just determined to give you the book, okay? Ephesians 5. Look in verse 22. Ephesians 5. Look in verse 22. Bible said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So he's got order set up. So first of all, that husband, that man that is in that home, is he's going to make sure that his home is set up in order the best that it can be. It's going to fall to the man, then to the wife, and then to the children. That's how that thing works. And so, and then he said this in verse 25. He said, "Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, do you know why, ladies, listen to me, you know why that it says that you have to submit? Do you understand that when it talks about yielding your will to another? I don't believe that's a natural thing. For you to yield your will to another, they tell you have to do that. You need to do that. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it's set up. Listen, that don't make you a doormat. That don't mean that you don't have your own mind. That don't mean any of those things. But what I'm telling you tonight is when it comes to the order of the home, then the husband is the head of that thing. Society does not believe that tonight. I mean, if you go back and even look at what Black Lives Matter teach, you can go to their website and pull it up. Or you may have to take the Wayback Machine to get there, but you can get there. I mean, they think the nuclear, the Western nuclear family, which is Bible-based, which is a mother and a father, a father and a mother and children. That's how it's set up. You know, dads are expected to be in the home. I know there's some homes that dads ain't there. I know sometimes they leave. I know that sometimes they die. I understand those things. But I'm telling you right now, God set it up for the man to be in that home and to be heading that thing. And He set him up to drive it. That's what He done. So He'll make sure it is that way. Why? Because that's pleasing to the Lord. That's just pleasing to God. You want God to be happy with your home? That's what needs to happen. I know we're not in a perfect world. I understand that. And I know it don't always work out that way. And I know it don't always work out that way in Christians' home. I understand that. But that still don't change what the Bible says. And for you men sitting in here tonight, that don't change anything for you. You just need to do it. And then he tells us to love our wives. Even if Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, we're to be in a sacrificial love. 1 Peter 3:7. He said, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them. Talking about wives. He said, dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. First of all, he said, dwell with them according to knowledge. Learn how to treat your wife tonight. Learn how to love your wife. Learn how to be good to her. Learn how to treat her like a queen, even if you ain't king tonight. So by the way, you are the king of your house, she's the queen. And we can call them princes and princesses. How's that tonight? Amen. There is a kingship and a priesthood of the believer tonight. We are heirs in that with the Heavenly Father and with His Son. But He said, dwell with them according to knowledge. Learn how. Take this book and learn how to dwell. Why? Because we are different tonight. Well, learn how to set up the home. Give an honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I just believe that is what it is. Again, I go back to the science class. I mean, that don't mean men tonight. That don't mean you're smarter and she's dumber. That ain't what that's talking about tonight. My wife is probably far smarter than I am. And I'm talking about that in intelligence and not hurting tonight. Some of y'all catch on to that here in a minute. I'm talking about smarting for some things. But he said what? He said, give an honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. He didn't say dishonor her. He said honor her. So provide her honor tonight as being the wife, as being in the home, as under the weaker vessel. We should be stronger. And she should be weaker. That's the way God made it. And it's being heirs together of the grace of life. Notice that we're heirs together. It's a together thing, ain't it? It's a together thing. Heirs together of the grace of life, its prayers be not hindered. You know, when the home ain't right, even your prayers will be hindered. I believe that tonight. I do. When your relationship is not right with your husband or with your wife, your prayers will be hindered tonight. I believe a man will make provision for his house to not only make sure that it's set in order, but then he'll go to work. He'll provide for his own. He said, but if any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than the infidel. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Brother Jeff talked about this the other day. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. You know, you have to turn ground when you get ready to plant when it's still cold outside, don't you? I mean, it's still cold. I mean, you're going to drop that plow on the ground and take off. It's still cold to get ready for springtime when it's time to plant. He said the sluggard, that one that's lazy, will not plow by reason of cold. And so when it's harvest time, he's going to have to beg. I love the way Brother Jeff talked about that. He said, you can go out there and beg them little plants all you want to, but they ain't going to put on nothing. I had never heard it put that way, but I thought that's pretty good. He said, you ain't going to have nothing because you won't work, and you're going to have to go beg. He said, the soul of the sluggard in Proverbs 13 desireth, and hath nothing but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You know that sluggard who's too lazy to work, that won't work. He said he'll have nothing. But that man that's diligent, who stays after it, he'll be made fat. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Proverbs 6. I'm going to close this here in a little bit. Proverbs 6. I might not already have said that. I may be here a while. I don't know. Look in verse 6. Proverbs 6. Look in verse 6. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He said, you know, you go watch your ants work. He said, they moving and working all the time. Got to work. He said, look at the ant. He said, how long are you going to... He said, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He said, just laziness. Just laziness. And we got folks just lazy today. Just lazy. Ain't going to work, ain't going to strike a lick of the blacksmith, ain't going to do nothing. Just lazy. And he said, they'll beg when it's harvest time. He'll provide and make sure that his home is took care of. He'll provide a good home. I've got this wrote down right here, and here's what I wrote down. I didn't say an expensive home that's full of everything, but he'll provide a good home. He'll provide a good home. He'll make sure that there's no strife in that home. You know, I never heard my daddy raise his voice to my mother. I didn't say that he didn't. I'm just telling you that I never heard it. I never seen him fight one time in my whole life. Not one time. You may not have ever seen, you may not know what that's like, but I know what that's like. I've never seen them argue. I've never seen them fight. Now, I didn't say they didn't. They might have done it when we wasn't around or when we went to bed. I don't know. I'm just telling you that they were smart enough to let us kids never see it. How to make a difference in your children. It'll be a loving home where mom knows she's loved, where the wife knows she's loved. Those children will know that they're loved and that they're took care of and that they're protected. I read a story late this evening after I got done studying. I was reading a story about a missionary family. They'd been missionaries. They're now back home and they live in Texas. And it was a mom and dad that had three of their own children. And they adopted three more that were siblings out of foster care and adopted them. And you're talking about a difference. I mean, the dad wasn't nowhere to be found. And it talked about the birth mother had lost her rights. She had mental issues and all that. And she passed away also, even after them kids went into foster care. And it talked about that, but it talked about that these three kids that come into this home, they really didn't know what it was like to have love and to have care. You know, because they had lived in an RV and had, for days on ends, had to just live by theirself and take care of theirself the best that they can. Your children should never have to think about things like that. They should know that they're in a protected home. If somebody bad comes through that door, daddy's going to do his best to beat them back out the door. I told you a long time ago I'd fight for your children. I mean it. I do. I would. I would. I'd fight for them. But you have to. You got to fight for your home. You got to fight for your home to keep bad things out of your home. Stuff that don't belong in our men. If it's just you and your wife, and that's how it is at my home. It's just me and Miss Kelly, and I'm trying to not that we want bad things in there, that she's towing them in because she ain't. But we just make sure bad stuff stays out of our home. Whether it's coming in by the way of the mail, whether it's coming in by the way of the TV or by the radio or what's on our phone, we just make sure that stuff stays out there. Provide a good home for them. Love on them. A disciplined home where there's training and where there's correction, where there's punishment if there needs to be. The Bible said in Proverbs 13, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You don't start out beating on them, but you start out training them. But if they don't get it, I mean, there's got to be some correction. And there's got to be some pain. That's just how it is. I mean, even the Lord deals with it. Hebrews 12 tells us that's how the Lord deals with us, is with chastening. He said, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Boy, they'll cry like you're going to kill them, ain't you? The rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, there's a lot of people don't believe that. Because they leave their children to themselves to do what they want to do with no correction and no instruction and no punishment, if you let me say it that way. And they don't believe that verse, that rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I know you've got to get inventive with punishment. I understand that. I know you do. Me and Miss Jennifer were standing out on the porch the other day talking about this. I don't know how we got here, but I can remember when I was a junior in high school, and I was flunking math class, and my mother was smart, man, when it comes to this stuff here. She wasn't going to cause herself no heartache if she didn't have to. I was driving by then, had places to go and things to do. You know what she done? She didn't take the driver's license or take my keys from me. She just made me ride the school bus to school. I had to get up, go get on the school bus, and then when I come home, I'd go anywhere I wanted to go. But she didn't have to haul me around. Well, needless to say, I didn't like that, and I got those grades fixed. Amen. Number four, if you're keeping up, I don't know if I've numbered anything, but then we need some men that are willing to fight. I've already talked about this, but Nehemiah 4, he said, and I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers. Now remember, Nehemiah's building the wall around Jerusalem. And he said to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. He said, they're worth a good fight. They're worthy of a good fight. Need to fight sometimes. You got to fight. What was it David said over there to his brother when his brother came up there? When he was talking about Samson, Goliath. When he's talking about Goliath, and Goliath was coming up there and just cursing the Lord and the army of Israel. And remember what David said? He said, what have I now done? He said, is there not a cause? Do you not think your family's worth the cause to fight over tonight? I think they're worthy. I think they're worth fighting over tonight. I think they are. That's why I pray for them. You know, these little ones running around here, I pray one that God keeps them healthy, and then I pray that God saves them early. I mean, that's my prayer. I mean, it really is my prayer just about every day when I kneel down to pray for these young ones running around here. It is that God will keep them healthy and that God will save them early. And I know that He can do it. And I want Him. But you know something? If you don't keep them in church, what chances do they have? Ezekiel chapter 22, and I'm going to close. Now this was the verse that the preacher preached on that morning. That boy that I surrendered the call to preach. And I sought for a man among them that they should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But you know what the Lord said in the book of Ezekiel? But I found none. What a horrible spot to be in. He said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find one. Well, if God got to looking for a man tonight, would He find one? Would He find one? He just need men. Just need men to be men. That's just all we need tonight. Good men that are saved and want their home to be in the right place and want to love their wife right and love their children right and do what's right and provide for them. And just fight when you need to fight. Let's bow our heads tonight.